Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. After the first commercial break, Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote of Cal State Fullerton will join us. We'll be talking about an organization that some of you have perhaps not heard of before called the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, also known as the MEK or the MKO. Back in the Pahlavi days in Iran, this organization described itself as an Islamic Marxist organization. It was involved in acts of terrorism against American employees of various civilian agencies and military agencies of the United States government during those Pahlavi years. Now, in an incredible twist of developments, the United States government, at least the Pentagon portion of it, and Israeli intelligence seem to have a relationship with the MKO or the MEK. What is going on here? Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote will help us to unravel this after the first commercial break. All kinds of things going on, by the way, in the Middle East right now. I've been reading David Kilcullen's book, The Accidental Guerrilla, Fighting Small Wars in the Midst of a Big One. I noticed that Tom Hayden has a piece at antiwar.com this morning. It is the spotlight at antiwar.com. It's entitled Kilcullen's Long War. If you get an opportunity to get a hold of David Kilcullen's book, an old professor of mine sent it to me, well worth your time. It's an Oxford University Press publication. And you can read in the inside jacket of the book something about Dr. Kilcullen's background and why, folks, I think we are in such incredibly difficult trouble in terms of what is happening in the Middle East generally and certainly Afghanistan specifically. One of the most fascinating things to me as I watch all of this unfold is to see how it is that a president who was elected in 2008 with a very strong anti-war constituency is now contemplating a request from General McChrystal to commit anywhere from 40,000 to 80,000 additional troops to Afghanistan. What will Obama decide to do? We'll have to keep an eye on this one. But again, it's quite interesting that with a Democratic president, with an anti-war constituency, and with a democratically controlled Congress, that the United States seems to be moving in this direction. Are we looking at a circumstance where Obama, having inherited the Bush-Cheney policy, will move in the direction that Lyndon Johnson did with the 25th Infantry Division in Vietnam? We'll have to watch, folks, but it certainly does not look good. Take a look at Pakistan, by the way, if you're looking at antiwar.com this morning. Further trouble in Pakistan, 30,000 Pakistani troops now begin a South Waziristan offensive. We are told that the purpose of this invasion is to subjugate the region, which has become the most important base of operations for the Tehrik-e-Taliban Pakistan, or the TTP. Pakistan has been bombing the region for weeks, according to Jason Ditz of antiwar.com. An Army spokesman, Major General Athar Abbas, says the military will focus on the, quote, headquarters of the defunct TTP, unquote, and the approximately 1,500 foreign fighters he estimates are present in the area. But while the official position has been, and remarkably enough, seems to continue to be that the TTP is a group on the ropes, says Ditz, or even on the verge of destruction since August, the militant faction has launched an unprecedented number of high-profile strikes over the past week, killing over 170 and hitting sites long thought to be untouchable, like the Pakistani military's general headquarters in Rawalpindi. We'll be back with Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote of Cal State Fullerton. We'll be talking about the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, or the MEK, when Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Special roast hemp coffee from hempusa.org. Our coffee grows in the dense volcanic-rich soil, herbicide and pesticide-free, and in the high altitudes of Guatemala, in conditions that are ideal for natural growth of this high-quality coffee. Try our mellow cup of coffee that is ground and roasted with 25% hemp seed from Canada. With a wonderful nutty flavor that contains 18% protein, our roasters bring a unique flavor that makes this the best cup of coffee you'll ever have. Try our new special roast hemp coffee from hempusa.org and wake up your brain without the jitters. Our customers look forward to their next cup of hemp coffee. Visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608 and see if you'll change your mind about drinking coffee again. Taste the difference. Feel the difference at hempusa.org today.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our very special guest today is Dr. Paul Foote, a professor of accounting at Cal State University in Fullerton. He, among other things, has a BBA degree from the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, his MBA from Harvard Business School, his PhD from Michigan State University. He is an acknowledged expert in the whole subject of the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, or MEK, an Islamic Marxist organization, as it described itself when it was first founded in 1965 in Iran. It was involved in a lot of actions against American citizens in Pahlavi Iran in the 1970s. However, as I noted in our opening moments of the broadcast, the Pentagon now and Israeli intelligence seem to have a working relationship with the Mujahideen-e-Khalq. How are you, Dr. Foote?
I'm fine, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Unpack for us the history of the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, how it began, something about its ideology, something about its leadership under the direction of a couple of people, a married couple, Massoud and Miriam Rajavi or Rajavi, and what precisely seems to be its evolving relationship with both the United States government, specifically the Pentagon, and with Israeli intelligence as well.
Well, as you pointed out, the MEK was founded in 1965 to overthrow the Shah of Iran. They don't like to talk about that. They try to leave the impression that they exist to overthrow the Islamic Republic of Iran. In fact, they would just want to be in power, period. Even the New York Times in 2003 in a June magazine article said the Iranians call the leader the Pol Pot of Iran. And if the New York Times is recognizing a communist they don't like, you know this is a big deal. So, but they were started in 1965, along with numerous other communist organizations, especially in Latin America, as part of what Khrushchev started. Khrushchev in the 1950s said that religion is the opium of the people, therefore sell them opium. And so the KGB became very actively involved in liberation theology movements around the world, and very successfully in Latin America, but not as successful in the Middle East. And so the people who started the MEK did it as a liberation theology movement on the belief that, well, you're not going to convince Muslims to be communists, so we're going to blend it and we'll sell the package without the usual Marxist jargon. And so that's how they got started. They were certainly not the first communist organization in Iran. There were communist organizations even before the Soviet Union came to power. There have been many attempts to overthrow monarchies in Iran for very good reason. A long line of monarchs sold out the country for a very long time. The Qajar dynasty that went from 1779 to 1925, you had monarchs giving up huge concessions to foreign powers, partly out of weakness and partly to stay in power. The Russians have always wanted Iran as a warm port country, so they've been trying to take it over. The British have always wanted it in those days as a port for their ships to go through on the way to India. And plus, the Western countries had technology, such as telegraph systems. So in 1863, a concession was given to British companies. But in 1872, the Reuter concession, you've heard of Reuters, the news service, well, Baron Reuter got a concession from the then Shah of Iran for basically almost all of the economy of the country or options on it for £40,000 originally. And there was such an uproar in the country over the Shah doing this that he had to modify the concession. But there have been many other concessions since then. Lord Curzon, the British Foreign Secretary at the time, described the Reuter concession as, quote, the most complete and extraordinary surrender of the entire industrial resources of a kingdom into foreign hands that has probably ever been dreamt of, much less accomplished in history. And this continued. The problem is that Iran is a resource-rich country, and a lot of major powers have tried to control it or take it over. 1906, you had the constitutional revolution in Iran where people tried to put in a constitutional form of government. They met massive opposition from British and Russian forces. A small number of Americans actually went there and tried to help out on an individual basis, and one wrote a wonderful book called The Strangling of Persia. But we have this long history of foreign manipulation and involvement in Iran, because Iran isn't big enough to fight back totally. And this approach used in 1965 by the communists was an excellent approach in terms of liberation theology. The communists were very successful around the world on this. For example, the KGB founded an organization in the 1960s called the Christian Peace Conference, and they established other organizations around the world that pretended to be Christian groups, and they sent representatives to the World Council of Churches and were able to promote attacks on capitalism and the defense of the Soviet Union's occupation of Afghanistan at World Council of Churches Assembly. So this is all part of that. The people in Iran were very much into liberation theology as a technique for taking over in countries where religion is strong.
Is it your reading of the situation? I know I've been going back over a book released by the American Free Press. It's based upon George Washington University's National Security Archive, releasing a series of CIA and British MI6 documents from the 1952-1953 period that seemed to chronicle the extent to which the United States and British intelligence communities were involved in the overthrow of Mossadegh in 1953 and the reinstallation of the Shah. Is it your reading of the situation that what seemed to happen in 1953 and thereafter is that a lot of the mainstream secular political movements in Iran, for example, like the National Front, were rather denuded by what happened in 1953. And so as there was increasing political tension and unrest in Iran in the years that followed, that the MEK became, and what they were doing on the Marxist side of the aisle, and presumably what was happening on the Mullah side of the aisle, that these became more attractive and viable political selections for the Iranian people simply because a more broad-based, non-Marxist and non-theocratic set of political alternatives had largely been denuded by what happened in 1953?
You're absolutely correct. The two major opposition powers in 1953 were the Tudeh Party, a Stalinist Communist Party, and the Nationalists under Mossadegh. Tudeh was badly split over what to do about Mossadegh. You had some of the communist leaders saying, we must support him in ousting the Shah because this will be a step closer to getting a communist government. This is the gradualist view of communism. And you had the other group saying, no, it's revolution or nothing. And because of their failure in 1953, the Tudeh became virtually an empty shell since then of little importance. They still exist, but they're very unimportant. The Nationalists were hurt extremely badly by this, too, the people who supported Mossadegh. When the Shah fled from Iran, he turned the government over to the Nationalists. They stayed in power for 37 days. The real battle was between the communists under Rajavi and the religious people. And we should be very grateful that Rajavi did not take over the country. He would have killed 25% of the people like Pol Pot or better. He's much smarter than Pol Pot was. But that's absolutely right. Now, there was a reason. I personally met with Kermit Roosevelt while I was a student at Harvard. I went down to Washington and asked him what happened. He said the reason the American government took its position was they had seen the fall of countries in Eastern Europe through coalition governments. The communists would come in, and they would get a few ministries in the government, and then soon they'd be killing the leaders or forcing the leaders out and then taking over countries. The American government regarded Mossadegh as a very weak individual, and they thought that Iran would fall to the Soviet Union in a very short amount of time. So that is in the equation also.
Yes, and the interesting thing, as I understand it, is that the so-called Operation Ajax of 1953, and of course much of this appears in Stephen Kinzer's book, All the Shah's Men, that essentially what the British MI6 and the American Central Intelligence Agency did in Iran in 1953 became a primer for CIA acts of intervention in other situations around the world. And of course, that's a whole other topic in terms of whether or not that ended up being a positive or a negative in terms of American foreign policy over the longer haul. We'll be back with Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote of Cal State Fullerton to continue this conversation about the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, or the MEK, when Mark Dankos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Stay tuned.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. www.mekinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
My children were very disrespectful. They were defiant. The results from the total transformation were almost immediate. The children stopped arguing.
Is your child disrespectful and defiant with you about everything? Are they arguing with you constantly and having problems in school? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the total transformation.
They have become very task-oriented at school. They complete their assignments in a timely manner without being asked. I firmly believe it is 100% the total transformation. It truly changed our lives.
Back talk, lying, even problems with ADD and defiant teens. I'll help you transform the worst behavior problems and get peace and sanity in your home. Guaranteed. Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less and my weekly newsletter free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote of Cal State Fullerton. He is an acknowledged international expert on an organization called the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, or MEK. Sometimes you will see the acronym MKO applied to this organization and to the so-called Islamic Marxist cult that it represents. Courtesy of the leadership of Massoud and Miriam Rajavi. And by the way, if you're looking for some further interesting reading on this very strange organization, Ed Blanche, the Beirut correspondent for the Middle East publication in the June 2009 issue, has an extensive piece on the MEK and their whole history that in some cases dovetails with what we're talking about this morning, under the very fine leadership of Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote, who is a most informative figure in regard to things that some of us come across and read from time to time in the Western press, but do not have the personal and academic background that he has to evaluate the meaning of it. Dr. Foote, I thought it might be important at this point in the broadcast to maybe get into your autobiography a little bit as far as your marriage and your original involvement in the country of Iran. I also find it interesting that you have been from time to time subjected to a series of personal attacks by people linked up with the American neoconservative movement, including a professor, Rabbi Daniel Zucker, which we will maybe talk about this morning. But go ahead and tell us, illumine our listeners as to precisely how an accounting professor at Cal State Fullerton became so deeply embroiled in topics related to Middle Eastern politics and subversion and espionage and revolution and so forth.
I worked in London, England at Barclays Bank at one point, where I met my wife, who's from Iran. I went to Iran in 1968 and married her in Tehran, and even then I had an introduction. I would hear shooting at night, and I would ask my wife, what's the shooting about? And she said, oh, that's the Mujahideen. They're fighting against the government.
Yes.
I had an introduction as early as 1968 to them. When I went to the... when I went to Harvard Business School, I spent my summer in between years at Harvard Business School working at the American Embassy in Tehran. Then when I went on for a PhD at Michigan State University, while I was there, the Shah fled from the country, and I used to attend the MEK meetings at Michigan State University and monitor what they were doing, and one of them members came to me and said, what do I do now? I've applied for political asylum on the grounds that the Shah would execute me if I were sent back to Iran, and now the Shah is gone.
Yes. Be careful what you wish for, right?
That's right. And yeah. You know, he wanted to stay in America, so he said, asked me, can I change my forms and say I can't go back because the Islamic Republic of Iran will execute me now. So I've been monitoring these people carefully for a very long time. My wife has even had some relatives who were killed fighting for them, and has one who may even be at the headquarters to this day working for them. So, I mean, there are plenty of Iranians that I have encountered over the years who have been very actively involved in the organization. During the hostage crisis, my wife actually went back with our daughter, who was then 4 years old, and got caught up in the hostage crisis. She couldn't leave Iran for 11 months. And the reason she got out was they released everybody on the day Reagan became president. But during that time, some of the Mujahideen Khalq supporters I knew at Michigan State went back and left the university to be guards at the embassy. And it was the Mujahideen Khalq who kept shouting, kill the American hostages during the hostage crisis. And they were making fun of the Islamic leaders, saying, we are the true anti-Western people in this country. You guys are a bunch of fakers.
Yes.
So
and
the reason these people were not killed was thanks to the Islamic leaders.
Yeah.
Contrary to the image being portrayed in as great Democrats by the current leaders in the American Congress.
Well, yes, that's exactly right. And in a minute, we'll discuss the potential or actual links of some of these people that are singing a different tune now when it comes to the MEK. But, you know, one of the things that I have found most interesting in this entire situation is that largely through your auspices, I have come into contact with some other folks around the world who have been involved in dealing with the MEK in Iran. And they have their own story to tell about MEK atrocities. Maybe we'll take a look at that a little bit when we come back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote of Cal State Fullerton discussing the Mujahideen Khalq. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
Restore the Republic, the social network for the modern revolutionary. Activating the silent masses into action. At RestoreTheRepublic.net, we're seizing power from the globalist world controllers and handing it back to the people. RestoreTheRepublic.net, where patriots rally on the objective. The Liberty Bell tolls once again for a movement on the rise. Make RestoreTheRepublic.net your place to unify and activate the revolution.
Had about enough of the bold-faced lies and propaganda, have you? Republic Magazine exposes the mainstream media garbage for what it is. Grab a stack and take America back. Use Republic Magazine to wake the people and crush the corporate-controlled propaganda machines. Page after glossy page of factual information to fuel the second American revolution. Get it all and more at RepublicMagazine.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
We're back. This is Mark Nankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote, professor of accounting at Cal State Fullerton, who is also an acknowledged international expert on Iran and specifically the whole topic of the Mujahideen-e-Khalq or the MEK or the MKO. As I was sharing with Dr. Foote, I have my own autobiographical connection to some of this. My father, the late Air Force Colonel Carl Dankoff, was working in Iran in the 1970s for the Lockheed Corporation. He became the head of the Lockheed Corporation's peace logistics program in Iran. My dad was providing logistical direction for the Shah of Iran's Imperial Iranian Air Force back in those days. And it became known that the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, which had harmed a number of American defense contractors, was interested in bringing some physical harm to my own father. The good news is that didn't happen. He was brought back to the United States by Lockheed, worked for Lockheed on that same contract right here in San Antonio, Texas for a couple of years, went back to Iran at the height of the revolutionary situation over there to facilitate getting Lockheed employees out of the country once it was determined that the situation there was crumbling. And, of course, as many of you know, my father passed away this last May. And on June 5th, there was a full military honors funeral for him at Randolph Air Force Base here in San Antonio. He now is interred at Arlington National Cemetery in Section 54. Dr. Foote, as we get back to our conversation about the MEK, Through your auspices, I became aware of an organization over there called the Habilian Association. I heard from Masoud Hosseini, who is the head of the International Relations section of the Habilian Association. They, of course, have their own website, which will be one of the ones that we include in our show description for today, that listeners might click on some of these sites and learn more. Masoud was indicating to me, if I understand one of his communications correctly, that there were approximately 16,000 deaths in Iran after the revolution, where these 16,000 deaths were attributed to the MEK. Enlighten us on this a little bit.
Well, it's true that they killed very large numbers of people, including average people on the street. They, you know, if you're a terrorist organization, you want to leave the impression that your government can't protect you. I mean, security is a major function of government, so you just kill anyone and anyone. They also did it for fundraising purposes. They would go to small merchants and say, give us money or we'll kill you, and they killed many merchants. So they killed a large number of people throughout Iran, so that's absolutely correct. And not only that, another fundraising technique is they would tell the young people in their organization to tell their parents that they had brain cancer or some other great medical problem and needed $10,000 in a hurry. And these wonderful young communists would tell their parents that. The parents would believe it and send them huge sums of money, and that went straight to financing the cult.
Yes, and using the word cult, I think, is something that we need to flush out a little bit this morning. And I think Ed Blanche's story on these people, the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, and the June 2009 The Middle East magazine really underscores this. There is a cultic phenomenon that surrounds the leadership of this married couple, Masoud and Miriam Rajavi, that I think is well worth exploring. Blanche's story gets into some very strange things about these people and their practices. I was showing this article to several uninitiated people here in San Antonio whose remarks to me after reading Blanche's story largely centered around the bizarre character of this. Give us some of the background on the Rajavis.
I'd like to mention two books that go into this in great detail. Ann Singleton has a book called Saddam's Private Army. She and her Iranian husband were in the MEK for nearly 20 years. And another one is called Masoud, M-A-S-O-U-D, by Masoud Banisadr, B-A-N-I-S-A-D-R. He also was in for about 20 years, and they both have extensive writings about the cult practices of the organization. It didn't start as a cult. The reason it turned into a cult was in 1988, as the Iran-Iraq war was drawing to an end, these communist terrorists were scared to death because they were headquartered in Iraq. And they were financed by, provided weapons by Saddam Hussein. And they were worried that once Saddam Hussein signed a peace treaty with Iran, that they wouldn't be able to do anything anymore. So Rajavi asked the Iraqis to permit them to attack Iran before the war was over. So the Iraqi Air Force provided a limited amount of cover a short distance inside Iran, and in 1988, Masoud Rajavi and his wife Mariam sat at the border and waved goodbye to their army of thousands of people who went into Iran and were told that they wouldn't have to fire a single shot because a million Iranians would join them in a march to Tehran and the government would fall immediately. Well, instead, perhaps 2,000 were killed by the Iranian army, and the rest ran back to Iraq or Pakistan or the Kurdish regions to get out of there. But after that, Rajavi had a problem. He had to figure out how to hold the organization together, and he decided on a cult. And he told his members that the reason that they had lost their battle against Iran was they did not love the Rajavis enough. And so they started holding these weekly or more frequent confession sessions, the kind of thing that you saw in the Killing Fields movie about Pol Pot. And they would force people to confess their thoughts about each other and everything else. And then they started, as you suggested, weird practices, the most interesting one of which is they would take frequent urine samples to make sure that no one had been masturbating. This is a very sick group as a cult, but the whole idea was the only way they could hold it together was to become a cult. And they actually have killed many people who tried to leave the organization. Some of them were held in solitary confinement, beaten, tortured at Camp Ashraf, Iraq, for years. And some of them, fortunately, were able to escape. Ann Singleton mentions in her book, Saddam's Private Army, that here she was, a British subject living in England, and she was afraid to leave the organization. This is how dangerous they are against people who try to leave them. But yes, it has become a full-blown cult.
Yes, and Blanche's article, of course, in the June 2009, the Middle East publication, underscores this. And this brings us to maybe what is one of the most curious aspects of this, and that is that the Pentagon, not the State Department, but the Pentagon, is interested in using the MEK for the present political and intelligence purposes of the United States and the Middle East. There have been a series of news stories, not as much in the United States as abroad, about a relationship between the MEK and Israeli intelligence, the Israeli Mossad. This all seems rather paradoxical. Can you help us unpack that a little bit?
Boy, we could spend hours talking about all those connections. You're absolutely correct. First of all, the only, you know, the favorite defense of the people in Congress who defend these communists are that, well, they told us about Iran's nuclear site. Nonsense. There were plenty of reports out there saying the information was handed to them by Mossad and to get credit for it. But Ann Singleton has posted at her website, iran-interlink.org, documentation on Israeli support for the MEK. And everyone needs to understand this, that terrorist organizations do not live without support. I mean, they still have perhaps 3,000 or more people at Camp Ashraf, Iraq. Well, these people have to eat. It costs money to support these organizations. They have a headquarters in France, permitted by the French government. At one time, the French government was providing security for them. They had more than 200 telephone lines. They still operate there, even though the leaders were arrested in 2003 and their money was taken, but they still could operate there. German connection. They broadcast for years from Iraq propaganda messages into Iran using a Siemens transmitter, which could only be obtained with the German government approval for an export license. So every time you see a terrorist organization, you've got to ask yourself, well, who's funding it? And you're absolutely correct about the American use of it. You hear this on Fox News in vague terms. You hear these retired military officers saying, we have boots on the ground there today. And they talk about special operations use and so forth. But when we attacked, well, I'll go back one step. In September 2002, President Bush made a speech at the United Nations, and the White House distributed a background paper at that time, essentially as a pretext for the Iraq War, giving two reasons. The media only in this country only talks about one reason, the weapons of mass destruction. But there was another important section in that document in which President Bush and the White House cited the MEK as a reason for the needing an Iraq War, that Saddam Hussein was supporting terrorists, and they mentioned only three organizations, two of which were unimportant. And then he mentioned the MEK. In February 2003, General Zinni testified before a Senate committee, and he said, hey, guys, before we go into Iraq, we have to talk about some things. What do you want American commanders to do when they go by Camp Ashraf and they see all these tanks and armored personnel carriers and artillery pieces? You expect them to close their eyes and not shoot at them?
Yeah.
And so we actually attacked Camp Ashraf in 2003, killed some MEK members. They quickly surrendered. We protected them, and we claimed the Geneva Fourth Convention, which is for civilians, as a reason for protecting them. And then we have actually been using their people to go inside Iran on terrorist acts to kill Iranians. And they have been, the MEK has been working with other terrorist organizations, such as Jundallah, which is the infamous organization that's related to Al-Qaeda, that chops off the heads of people. They'll stop buses and capture people and chop all their heads off. We fund both of those groups. The American government of this day is working with both of those groups and other terrorist organizations. This is what we call the war on terror in this country. We support the worst terrorists in the world.
Well, you know, my brother and I, my brother is an attorney in Dayton, Ohio. He's a graduate of the University of Texas Law School. He's been a trial attorney for about 33 years. He's on the political left. I'm on the American populist right. But we agree on some things. We always have good conversations. We're very close. And this is one thing that he observes on the left and I on the right. And it's this, that there seems to be a particularly convenient and ruthless utilitarianism to American foreign policy, where, of course, we assign, looking at things from a Manichaean point of view, we see always see evil on the other side, only good when it comes to ourselves. And then, of course, as these alliances change and as opportunities change, it seems to me that when you look at the current American relationship to groups like the MEK and the Jundallah, that one can come to the conclusion that American foreign policy is very utilitarian and that our alliances shift according to what we perceive our own national interest to be, and that murder is called murder and terror is called terror only when the other side's doing it, but not when we're engaging in questionable activities.
That's right. I mean, suppose that we had a terrorist organization operating in America, taking people off Greyhound buses and chopping their heads off, and it was financed by China. What would Americans be saying then? I mean, they would be screaming like crazy. But how do they think that people in Iran or anywhere else think about us when they find out their relatives had their heads chopped off thanks to American money and support? I mean, we're totally evil in this country for doing these things.
Well, that's the conclusion I've drawn, and unlike many of my former brethren in the Republican Party who have been entranced with neoconservatism, I've come to see that the founding fathers of our nation would have been presumably morally and constitutionally sickened by this kind of foreign policy. And it seems to me that whether we look at our previous relationship with Saddam Hussein, the one from 1958 to 1990, where Saddam was presumably committing all kinds of crimes, some of which he would later be convicted of and sentenced to death. At the time he was sentenced to death, it seemed to escape the American news media that many of these crimes that he was convicted of were crimes committed while he was under the sponsorship of the United States intelligence community. Then, of course, there's the whole question of what we have been supporting in places like Gaza and the West Bank with what would seem to be a very strong monolithic Israeli influence and control of American foreign policy, so that these recent atrocities in Gaza, if it escapes the attention of the American public, it certainly hasn't escaped international observation that the United States has been subsidizing this and sponsoring it. And then, of course, when you get into the Mujahideen-e Khalq and the Jundallah organizations, and certainly it would seem to me some of the kinds of things that we're now doing in both Afghanistan and Pakistan, where a lot of civilian casualties have been piling up, that this might have a lot more to do, it seems to me, with why we are so disliked in that part of the world than Mr. Bush's canard of some years ago that, well, the reason they don't like us is because of our freedoms.
You can't talk about freedom when you're being supported by the neoconservatives. I call them the neo-Trotskyites.
The bumper music's coming up, Doctor, and then I'll have a couple of ads to run here. We'll get started again with you in approximately 10 minutes, but let's talk about the neoconservatives and people like Rabbi Tucker when we come back for the show's second hour. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's our privilege today to be talking to Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote of Cal State Fullerton about the Mujahideen-e-Khalq. Stay tuned.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
If you have more than $25,000 in debt and are facing foreclosure, we can stop the foreclosure in one day and get you out of debt in 90 days without making a single payment. Did you know that debt settlement is illegal in at least 7 states and that if you hire an attorney to help you get out of debt, you'll pay 7 to 10 times more than legally necessary? The system is rigged. These guys get kickbacks from your creditors while charging you upfront to get into nothing more than just another payment plan. Look, this isn't brain surgery. You just need the right information and the right help and answers to your questions. No clients of zero debt in 90 days have had to negotiate with creditors or go to court. Our proven system stops collection calls in 1 minute. Since 1993, we have helped over 80,000 people get out of debt without making a single payment to creditors. Get the right information today and get out of debt in just 90 days. Ask about our $25,000 guarantee and your free copy of 7 Secrets to Debt Freedom when you call 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com today.
Attention, ladies! Dr. Arthur Perry is inviting you to participate in a nationwide giveaway of his Miracle Cream Night Skin. If you want smooth, firm skin with healthy collagen and elastin, you are eligible for a free 10-day supply of Night Skin, the skincare formula with proven results. Night Skin works while you sleep to even skin tones on your face and neck, exfoliate, and also reduce the appearance of fine lines. This one amazing cream does the work of 4 expensive products. If you want firmer, beautiful skin, and you're new to Dr. Perry's Night Skin, you're eligible to have a free 10-day supply rushed to your door. Here's how.
For your free 10-day supply of Night Skin, call 1-800-362-5848. You only pay shipping and handling. Call right now and ask for your free supply of Night Skin. Call 1-800-362-5848 and be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've got a few minutes of advertisements here. Then we'll be back with Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote of Cal State Fullerton for the second hour of this show. This is a fascinating topic, the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, or MEK. We are posting in the show description for today links to all of Dr. Foote's websites and his biography, his academic biography at Fullerton. We're also putting up the website of this Habilian Association over in Iran that will enable people to see what it is that we have continued to support in that country that conveniently is virtually never mentioned, or for the most part, in fact, never mentioned in the American news media. Folks, there's a whole side to what we're doing in the Middle East, both in Palestine, as well as in Mesopotamia and in Persia and in Afghanistan and in Pakistan that's totally sickening. And, of course, antiwar.com has been covering much of this on both the right and the left. I would urge you to take a look ongoingly at that website to get the real story, what I perceive to be the real story in regard to American foreign policy. Before we get back to Dr. Foote, there are a number of things that I would ask you to support this morning. My old friend Jim Lowe up in Fredericksburg is once again one of the people involved in supporting the Texas Liberty Campaign. That's the state version of Ron Paul's organization down here. You can give Jim Lowe a call, by the way, if you're interested in being a part of the next Texas Liberty Campaign. Call Jim up in Fredericksburg at 830-997-7477. That group gets together the first Monday of every month. That's the Texas Liberty Campaign. Give Jim Lowe a call. He, of course, is the German Lutheran editor of Parish Notes and also the political newsletter called Flack. Marvelous guy, by the way. Fascinating guy to talk to, Jim Lowe is. Call him at 830-997-7477. If you're interested in being a part of the Texas Liberty Campaign group, which meets on the first Monday of every month, and Jim can give you all the contact information as to where to show up and what time to show up. This is also my opportunity to ask you to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. John Stattmiller has put together a very creative and interesting group of hosts, putting together shows that are not shows that you're going to hear about, certainly in terms of corporate news media. Support the Republic Broadcasting Network to the extent that you can by contacting us at www.republicbroadcasting.org or giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. We need your support, not simply financially, but also to tell as many of your friends around the country as you can about this network and about what it is that we are trying to accomplish. I'd also ask you to support the American Free Press up in Washington, D.C. You can contact those fine folks at 1-888-699-NEWS. That's 1-888-699-NEWS. When we come back, we'll be joined for hour number two of the show by Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote of Cal State Fullerton. We will be talking in the second hour about not only the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, but what Dr. Foote thinks of the American neoconservative movement and what it's doing to this country and to our foreign policy. This is Mark Dancross, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for hour number two.
With recent